Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Boys. Penultimate time in the regular season, at least. But I think we're going to change up the beginning of this podcast in honour of JB's new hero. Hands in, banners on three. One, two, three,
banners!
Yes, we're going to be talking about the Aviva Premiership and Pro 12 semi-finals, the European playoff place, and also the Championship final. Final first leg. An amazing weekend of rugby. Well, week of rugby, really. 5 days of rugby if you go back to Wednesday in the Championship playoff. Absolutely awesome. But we've honoured the man in the start of our podcast. And, you know, in the past, if you listen to the podcast before, you'll know that we've had... You know, Phil's had a man crush on Jamie Cudmore. That's never gone away. He's been consistent with that. JB, however, flits from pillar to post. He's like a little social butterfly with his rugby crushes. It was Jacques Berger. Where are you on Jacques Berger, JB? You used to love him.
Well, he hasn't had that much exposure recently. I say recently, like, this year I don't think he's played as much as last year, certainly.
Yeah.
But he had one of those games on the weekend.
Oh, yeah, doesn't he? Oh, cometh the hour.
Do you know what? Here's the thing about Jacques Berger, right? I think... If you did like a Top Trumps thing and you compared me with Jacques Berger, you would probably find that we're almost identical players in terms of how good am I at passing, catching, even ball carrying. But then when it goes off the scale as his tackling, mine would be 5.5 and his would be 6 million or something. I swear to God, he's just a normal bloke off the streets, which they put into a pack, but he just happens to be able to tackle anything that moves. He's...
So anyway, so just to get onto this, we will get onto the Saracens game and everything. So JB had his man crush on Jacques Berger, then Big Gav, and then who's the most recent one, of course?
Big Gav.
Who was the most recent one?
Aside from Big Gav?
There's always been Andy Goode.
Andy Goode. I knew there was another one I was missing. Now... Banner.
I won't go that far. No, it's just an admission that I was wrong about Banahan to start with, because I did originally put him as the worst winger in the Premiership.
And now, where does he rank?
The best ever
in the Premiership. Best in the Premiership?
I'd say so.
Further afield,
best in all the major leagues, I'd say.
So there might be some kid in Fiji playing.
Yeah. There's some very good Fijians out there. I think. I'd like to see him against Surveyor, see who comes out the top.
I'm sure Surveyor would like to see him lining up against Matt Banahan. He was pretty good at the weekend.
He didn't just score three amazing tries. Well, actually, I say score three amazing tries. He did, but Jonathan Joseph is the main opponent.
I was going to say, I reckon possibly I might have been able to score that first try. About.
Yes. But then he rose pretty high to take a... an up and under, that was pretty impressive. He has an all-round good game, and he did exactly what he needed to do to take advantage of all that talent.
And he was a well-deserved, justified man of the match, which was correct. But if he didn't have George Ford and Jonathan Joseph and Kyle Eastman all inside him, like pulling the strings and creating that much room for him.
Exactly.
But someone could have run most of those tries in.
Going back to Surveyor... You could have actually had Surveyor on Leicester's wing and he still wouldn't have scored.
Yes, agreed. Agree with that. And that's partly because Leicester's kind of midfield was a bit turgid, but also because Bath's defence...
Leicester's midfield, right?
Bath's defence was excellent as well, though.
Leicester's backs, let's just read them. These are just basically people. I mean, they're not...
I'm going to stop this music for this, because this list that you're about to read doesn't warrant that music, it warrants this. Go on, read Leicester's backs.
Niall Morris, Adam Thompson... Matthew ex-England Tate, Christian Lomorno, current Japanese international, I'll have you know, Freddie Burns and Ben Youngs.
That's all right, but no,
take away the halfbacks. I mean, Nicky Gonover, of course. But like, Nicky Gonover was skinned. I mean, he's the best guy. He's stuck on the wing. Christian Lomorno, he looks like a Tua Lange, but he definitely isn't one.
Yeah, he does. He looks similar to Manu.
But he's just not... a big boy. He's just not very good at rugby.
Let's just focus on the positives, though, rather than sort of bemoaning Leicester's squad. Let's talk about what a brilliant performance it was by Bath. And I just also want to rewind to the very start of the season and just how good George Ford is.
Isn't he?
But, I mean, we knew he was good, but at the start of the season,
we always knew
he was most people's like, oh, I hope Stuart Lancaster puts him in the England team. But we weren't holding out a lot of hope. We were thinking he would sit on the sidelines. As a result of Owen Farrell's injury, he's not only had a great season for Bath, but he's now established himself as the number one.
Well, funny you should say that, because I was saying to Phil before, if Owen Farrell hadn't got injured, I'm not entirely sure Ford would be the starter, or if he had, it'd be a lot longer until he became a starter.
But just the composure and the control he has.
And
he is the man connecting, fair enough, he's the man connecting an amazing back line and a really powerful forward unit. So some would argue, his job's made easy, but he does
connect.
He does connect those two brilliantly.
Yeah, and it's his decision making for me. For such a young guy who's relatively inexperienced for a fly-half and certainly an international fly-half, his decision-making, more often than not, he makes the right decision. Mm. And you see Bath running the kind of dummy runner line a lot, and it's remarkable how many times he will, of the options available, pick the right one.
Yeah.
And he's kicking similar. He's kicking from the tee was very good as well at the weekend, 6 out of 7.
Just the pace. I've always said this. I mean, anyone who's listened to the podcast, listening to me drone on,
you've always said... before you say this, you've always said Matt Banahan's terrible.
Yes,
but, carry on,
yes,
Jay.
So I've always said that, but I've always said backs, first and foremost, pace, forwards, carry. And that's basically what happened. And there's so much pace. And I mean, have you ever seen a guy get tackled, fall on his front, jump back up and then score a try?
That's
Anthony Watson.
That Anthony Watson acceleration was unbelievable. I thought, you see it fairly frequently where someone gets tackled or half tackled and they're immediately pounced upon.
Yeah.
But somehow he managed to get to his seat and then the acceleration.
He's
from
like
there,
the Millennium Falcon.
It was phenomenal. The other thing.
You can do the Kessel run in 12 parsecs.
Yeah, exactly.
The other thing with Bath was they only went into Leicester's 22 8 times.
Yeah.
And scored 7.
Wow.
Scored 7
Phil
tries.
Already early doors in the podcast, a strong showing.
Fact.
From the stat man.
Now, Mike Ford must be fuming that they missed that one entrance into they didn't get a try
they
on the
a
eight.
Hard week training.
Yeah. But that and Leicester with 71% territory, 65% possession.
Fact.
And Bath down to 13 players.
Yeah, no, that's impressive.
And they did concede when they were down to 13 players, but only just, it was the last second of the first half when they finally conceded.
Showing they're not just, I mean, how much of that was, and we've already hinted at the question mark against Leicester's personnel, but does that show that what you're going to have in the final is two teams that are pretty good at soaking up what the opposition can throw at them?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's hard to say, isn't it? Because they both seem to like to back off the opposition, let them make a mistake and capitalise on it. Bath more so than Saracens. Saracens, when there's a mistake, they like to win a penalty and kick it and slowly bludgeon their way into it. Bath, they're looking for the turnover and then they go. And they're seriously good at it. So it's not quite as simple as saying we're going to see two teams that want to soak up pressure, because Bath are looking to play, turnover ball.
Well, this is what I think, and we'll get into previewing the game a little bit more, but I think it might be a little bit cagier and a bit more of a game of chess than the semi-finals, because you've got Saracens, who are the best in the business at kick chase, territorial, sort of squeezing someone. They're like in sort of the animal kingdom terms.
Anaconda.
They're a boa constrictor.
Boa constrictor.
They sort of they'll wait for hours, just squeezing the life slowly out of the opposition.
Well, in a snake.
Whereas Bath are sort of like they've got a deadly venom, and they'll just they'll have you.
In snake parlances, Bath are a black mamba. Very, very fast, very, very deadly.
Yeah.
Great on turnover ball. But the other thing as well is they're so casual. I mean, you always read about the Mike Ford-inspired team, and there's definitely a lot into that if you look at the patterns and the rest of it. But Mike Ford isn't going out and telling Jonathan Joseph to run sideways and hold the ball in one hand and throw it like a basketball. But they're just doing it because they're relaxed and they're confident. And it'll be interesting to see how that works against Saracens.
Yeah,
it really will be. But we'll come on to that a bit more. One more thing with Matt Banahan. Me and Jay were...
You'll love this, Tim. Listen to this.
Go on.
Me and Jay were in a pub on Saturday afternoon watching the game. Yeah. with two lads who went to university with Matt Van Hahn's brother.
Oh, I feel a good story coming on.
And
go on.
I think the two of them own a pub or something like that now. But
the Banner Hands, not the two lads we were out with.
Yeah, yeah. The Banner Hands. Then obviously Banners has got a lot of tattoos.
Yes, on his knee, on his calf, no, both
across
his arms, up his neck, across
but
his chest.
But here's the Banner Hand fact you won't know. Banner Hand only has half of the tattoos. Because you know where the other half are?
On his brother.
So when they stand next to each other, right?
Oh my God! this is incredible.
And it's apparently. I've got it here.
It's a canon, isn't it?
No, that's what they were saying. It might be a canon that the two lads didn't know. It's a Spitfire and a Mustang
on his torso.
Hang on their chest against each other, or on the same team.
Well, I'm not sure if this is a Mustang animal car.
No, because it's a Spitfire. It must be the Mustang airplane.
Is there a Mustang airplane?
Yeah, there
right,
is. The P-51.
Okay.
But they're on the same team, so they've obviously got. Unless they are on the same team.
Well, yeah, the brothers are on the same team, so it's a
yeah.
It's
I've
too
just,
clean.
I've got a list of some of his tattoos. On his neck, he's got his parents' initials and a German lookout tower that's on Jersey, a tribute to his birthplace.
A German lookout tower?
On his lucky right arm, he thinks his right arm is lucky. He has a four-leaf clover.
What does that mean for his left arm?
He has a four-leaf clover, the ace of spades, a pin-up lady in a horseshoe, a lucky dice, and the numbers 7 and 13, and the words "earn your luck." So he thinks his right arm is a lucky arm. So he's got
earning
everything to do
makes
with
no sense for the record.
And left arm, he has a Spitfire scene and bombs, a tribute to his grandfather who flew bombers in the war.
Wow.
And on his torso, he has his surname Banahan on the side of his ribcage.
Of course, he
and
does.
He has a Spitfire which continues over to his left arm.
And over to his brother's torso.
All the way over to his brother's torso so they can stand together, yeah.
Yeah.
See, I think it must be those two planes are on the same side because it'd be hard to sell, wouldn't it, if you and I had to go to the tattoo parlour. I was like, do you fancy having the Nazi war machine on your chest?
No, you can have that one, Jay.
No, it's okay because when we're together, we'll explain it. We'll explain it to everyone.
He has a massive dog called Tinkerbell. Look at the size of that dog called Tinkerbell.
What? Oh, Great Dane.
Yeah.
Well,
there you go. Banners.
Good old Banners.
Good old Banners. Love it.
I'd love to see a picture of those tattoos with the two of them together.
That needs to happen. Come on, right. Yeah. So I'm making an appeal. BT Sport, you need to get the Banahan boys on together.
They also said that Banahan is, what, 6'7", something like that?
And
his brother's about 5'10".
Yeah. And not in the greatest shape, apparently.
A little bit overweight.
He played for Waterloo with them, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
So there you go.
Over at Liverpool Uni.
Oh, nice. Right, well, so Bath, it was a pretty imperious performance. They just deconstructed what Leicester had and were pretty lethal. Saracens, it was a very different kind of performance, but no less impressive against the champions.
Yeah, it was really impressive. It wasn't as good a game. There was some handling mistakes. A lot of the tries were kind of the close quarter stuff, the rolling balls, the penalty try, that kind of stuff. But Saracens were very impressive in their... In their defence, for one thing, they had four of the top five tackle makers this weekend.
But it wasn't just the quantity, though, was it? I mean, you already talked about Jacques Berger. That hit on Ken Peacey.
Do you know what, though?
He was a bone rattler.
He put a few in as well. Not just that one.
He has no regard for his own safety, does he? You hate the phrase duty of care that's come in this season. In a way, a referee could yellow card Jacques Berger for... The legal tackles he makes because he shows no duty of care to his own body.
Exactly. Well, it's weird to mention that because I was about to say that when Jack Berger's playing, the refs are usually very harsh on him. So he gives away a lot of penalties. So after a magnificent hit, he gave away a penalty for not rolling away, I think.
Which was correct.
Kind of, yeah. But you've got to build into the equation that he's hitting so hard, he might not be able to roll away.
But it wasn't just Jack Berger. Owen Farrell, he had a hell of a game.
He did.
Just in general, in open play, he was absolutely brilliant. But I can't forget who he hit. It might have been Big Luth, but he absolutely smashed.
Yeah.
Some of the Northampton boys running down his channel.
And his kicking as well, out of hand. His kicking to allow the kick chase, the Jacques Berger, the Chris Wilds, those boys to get after him.
Was Chris Wilds playing?
Yeah, he started on the wing ahead of Ashton.
What really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, his kicking was on the money every time. The correct height, the correct distance to allow that defensive line and that kick chase to kind of swallow up Northampton and just make it really difficult for them.
And Northampton are big boys, but the power of the defensive effort and then the power of Vunipola just ball carrying all day. And actually, do you know what? One of my favourite moments was Itoje running over Courtney Laws.
Yes. That was... pretty cool.
That was pretty good.
Changing of the guard.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe not.
Not quite that, but it was a... If anyone was thinking that maybe this Itoje hype, and he has been hyped a lot.
Yeah.
If anyone's thinking that the hype is maybe misplaced or just because he's young, he's the real deal, isn't he?
Yeah, and if anyone thinks in the 50-man squad he's there just to make up the numbers.
Did you hear the so-called controversy after the game in the Malander interview?
There was some interesting post-match interviews in general.
There were.
Well, let's
so go on with the Malander one.
He said, it's very hard to beat Saracens at the breakdown because those Vinopola boys, as soon as they're over the ball, their belly is already touching the floor.
Yeah.
Which, I'm not sure if that's an insult or a compliment to how low they're getting.
I've read the interview in a couple of places because obviously the press has jumped on that comment, and I'm not sure if he actually said it kind of tongue-in-cheek or if he was having a bit of a whinge and a moan. I think, knowing Malander, it probably was a bit tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, I think it's a funny thing to say.
He's a very respectful kind of man in post-match interviews. I don't think the same can quite be said of Cockers. It's just like his team got taken to the cleaners.
Yeah.
And it's almost, I'd say it's almost easier to give a post-match press conference as a director of rugby when you've been smashed. Because... you know, it's not like one decision, and we'll get onto that in a minute. It's not like one decision was the difference between winning and losing. But so he could have just gone, you know what? They were the better team today, and we won. And good luck to them in the final. We're disappointed, obviously.
We came nearly
what he did. But what he also did, Jay, was
made excuses.
Yeah,
yeah. We don't have so many injured players.
Yeah, but you signed the players. You signed them. So, like, if you're director of rugby, your job is not the same as head coach. It's to construct a squad, which can last the whole season. Now, if you just sign 15 Tom Crofts, you can have a problem. You can't do that. Tom Croft may be able to, maybe one of the best back rowers in the country, but if he never plays, you may as well not have him.
And Matt O'Connor has lost his job for that, and he had very similar injury crises to Richard Cockerill throughout the season. And because he didn't make the playoffs, because he finished fifth, he's lost his job.
Exactly.
Cockerill has kept his job.
I think Cockerill's got to go. He's got to go because
he's not head coach. They've got Aaron Major coming in.
Yeah.
So he is director of rugby. So it's going to be a little bit more like the. Well, it's a bit more like. Well, it's become the normal model now. He's not actually going to be getting his hands dirty coaching the players or setting them up. He's just setting the environment and the structure.
But he's so much like Steve Diamond. Steve Diamond did that director of rugby thing, it lasted, what, weeks, days, minutes?
He went to be chief executive of the club to have a more overall view of the whole club.
What Sale were missing was more Steve Diamond. That's what the only answer to all of Sale's problems was more Steve Diamond. So that's what they prescribed, and that's what happened.
He went up into the boardroom and was sort of looking after the whole club. And then it wasn't going quite right, so he came down and he became forwards coach and director of rugby.
And he's probably consultant backs coach, defence coach.
If Leicester want to go places and they want to play like Leicester, don't waste your time. Go and get Steve Diamond. You'll enjoy it. You'll like it.
I thought Saracens were worth the victory.
Yes.
It was a bit of a frustrating game to watch, and I'd be frustrated if I was a Northampton fan because they didn't have their best game, as you said. But that was partly just Saracens strangling them slowly and eking it out. And I love the Borg, the Saracens.
I do as well.
I kind of love that they're... And a lot of people talk about all the superstar names and stuff, but they are actually better than the sum of their parts.
Agreed. They're kind of like... It's kind of like going fishing and only catching one big fish and having to wait 12 hours for it. It's you can't enjoy highlights of
the There is some amazing analogies coming out on this podcast today.
It's not like you just go
black
fishing.
Black mambas and fishes.
Yeah. You can't just go fishing and catch like 100 fish because that's like watching Bath or whatever. Watching Saracens, it's the whole enjoyment. You've got to start from minute one. You've got to appreciate all of the strategy. And then right at the end, when they get the final result, that's when you really understand what they've done.
Right.
So it's like going fishing, catching that one fish, but it takes you 12 hours to do so.
So the highlights of Saracens are incomparable to the highlights of Bath, but if you have it as the whole experience of that game...
Yes.
Yeah.
Mackerel fishing's fun, but so is big game fishing.
And if you're going mackerel fishing, you want to bring back a big net full...
Full of mackerel.
Full of mackerel. That's
exactly.
That's what Bath do. Sarries just bide their
tuna.
Time and get one marlin or a tuna.
Yeah,
or something. Yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. So we're going to have to try and keep the animal analogies going through this.
Okay.
Now, I know that, Phil, you've had your eye on the awards that have been done, the Aviva Premiership Awards.
Yes, it was. Was it Wednesday night? It was Wednesday night. Because I thought it was a bit confusing that they conflicted with the Championship playoff.
Which we should get onto in a bit.
Yes. But did you see the awards? Do you see who got
I saw
who got
Mark Duden-Smith hitting the smashometer, which I thought they'd retired now. Not Mark Duden-Smith, the smashometer. I know Mark Duden-Smith's still working.
You had top try scorer, obviously Thomas Waldrum. Golden Boot.
He's in the England squad. Oh, no, he's not. We'll come back to that.
Golden Boot.
Andy Good.
Andy Good.
Yes!
Was there? Andy Good got the Golden Boot. Try of the season.
Hang on. Is it someone like Ben Young? Tom Youngs? No. It's a prop, isn't it?
Well, when I first saw the picture, I thought it was Dan Cole, but it was actually Joe Simpson.
Really? That's why I thought I read. Did you tweet that?
Yeah, I might
have
tweeted
that. That's why I got confused.
So let's.
And community player of the year?
Someone who's been injured all year.
That sounds like someone's on parole.
No, I don't know what it's for. I don't know what
community.
Michael Patterson. I don't know.
Hang on.
No, it was Jamie George.
Oh, okay.
He's keeping a few.
Wait,
of the local.
What does it mean?
No, local beef eaters, McDonald's, KFCs. He's keeping them all going.
The micro George economy. They call it the George effect when he moves from town to town.
Ulster. There was a similar phenomenon when Nick Williams moved to Ulster.
I bet there was.
So what about some alternative rugby awards? And this is where I'd like to invite you to maybe suggest an award name and a winner. At Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. Of course, you're listening either via iTunes or via the Acast app. And thank you very much for that. Leave your feedback and your ratings and stuff on iTunes. So alternative end of season awards. What have you got, boys?
So the first one I've gone for is the Rupeni Thau Thau Minimum Train Maximum Gain Award.
Yeah.
Someone who doesn't train very much, Tom Croft.
No.
He never trains, never plays, and goes on Lions tours.
No, for this season, I've given it to Apeti Fanua, who had 12 appearances for London Welsh, didn't do very much by all accounts, and has somehow managed to get a lucrative contract for Leicester.
Well done. Well done, Apeti Fanua.
Despite weighing 23 plus stone.
Yeah, Leicester really need to sort out the recruitment policy, don't they?
I've got the Andy Goode Memorial Hairstyle of the Year. Second place was Jack Knoll, but the winner was his Exeter Chiefs teammate, Luke hyphen Mullet Dickey.
Mullet
hyphen Dickey. Well done.
Now I've got the Juliet Capulet Award.
Wow.
For dying, coming back to life, and then immediately dying again.
Wasp season.
I don't know.
You've just mentioned him.
Oh, okay. Dying.
Tom Croft, yes.
So last season, he made three appearances all season in the Aviva. Mm. And then played his first game in September in the 45-0 hammering by Bath. And then immediately had another 12 weeks out with further knee surgery.
Oh, God.
And then in December, he came back and he played 8 league games, 2 European Championship, Champions Cup games, and 3 games for England.
Wow.
Before then dislocating his shoulder again.
Wow.
And being out for the rest
and
of the season.
And this guy wanted more money from Leicester, is it?
I've
got the Babysitters Club Award going to Rob Baxter for the young players that have come through at Exeter Chiefs this year.
Could easily go to Saracens that as well, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got the Jordan Turner Hall celebrating the Best Legs for a Back Award.
Ooh. Where goes Jordan Turner Hall, right?
Not this season.
Best Legs for a Back.
I tell you, he used to have good legs. Twigger Marler. Just quads.
Yeah.
Just a body.
Best
and
Legs for a Back. Which back's got awesome legs?
Luke McAllister.
George Ford's got great.
This is Aviva Premiership.
George North's got excellent quads.
He does.
He certainly has.
He does.
Baldy.
I've gone for a newbie on the scene. Uh-huh. Bath's Chris Cook.
Oh, nice.
For a scrum half. His legs are very nice.
That's very good. the Tats Amazing Award, Richard Hibbard made an effort to try and steal that one, but it's still given to Matt Banahan.
Matt Banahan.
For tattoos. Still banners!
Has he won the George North Massive Winger Award? this year.
Yes.
We've sort of been duking it out for the last five seasons.
Yeah.
It's been fairly one way, actually.
And the Wordsmith Award, well, it was going to go to Nick Mullins for some of his brilliant analogies during BT Sport commentary, but the Wordsmith Award goes to Eddie Butler.
Benjamin Kaiser.
The services to the French language.
Did you see Nick Mullins this weekend when Bath scored the, I think it was George Ford's try to put them at least 20 points ahead? And he said, Bath aren't going to Twickenham.
They're not?
They're roaring to Twickenham.
Oh, right. Are they?
Nick, are they going or not? Can you please clear
this? Please clarify, because I was hoping to see him at the weekend.
Yeah. I thought this meant that they were going to Twickenham.
Oh, I still think he's the ball of barbed wire is still my personal favourite.
Oh, yeah.
Rolling ball of barbed wire.
Rolling ball of barbed wire.
We need to go to
Sinotti.
We need to go to an actual bowling alley with a ball of barbed wire and see how effective it is.
Well, I was thinking this. Have you ever seen a 5-ton cable drone?
No, I haven't.
They're big beasts, so I'm guessing...
Maybe that's what he meant. Maybe he's got a background in construction.
Yeah, maybe. He's a military construction background.
Mm. Makes sense.
And he's got a 5-ton rolling ball of barbed wire, because that would be difficult to stop.
He's still the finest analogy maker in the world.
Oh, he is. He totally is. He's a national treasure.
Ahead of you, Jay.
At Rugby Podcast, tweet us with a rugby award and we'll mention it on next week's podcast. There was a lot of reaction to Gloucester against Connacht in the European Cup playoff.
There was.
Obviously, Gloucester have advanced to the final playoff where they will take on Bordeaux.
Bordeaux Bagels.
I think if I were Bordeaux and their fans, I'd be a bit disappointed that that final is in Worcester.
Like, I know.
15 miles, 20 miles away from Gloucester.
From Gloucester, yeah. It's a bit of an advantage, isn't it?
It is a bit.
But it does mean that there's two finals at Six Ways this week.
Which is a very good week in Six Ways history.
It is, it certainly is. Certainly better than the past couple of seasons in Six Ways history.
But it was one of the best games we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it was a really good game. Both teams tried to play rugby.
Extra time, of course.
Yeah, some free rugby. Me and Jay, every game we watched this weekend, we're kind of hoping for free rugby because all bar Bath could have gone that way. And then we finally got one with the last game of the weekend. But the reason it went into free rugby was because 2 minutes to go, Gloucester 7 points down, and he gave a penalty to Gloucester that categorically should have been a penalty to Connacht. It was a dreadful decision.
Terrible for Connacht.
Did Pat Lamb say anything about this? Because he likes to have a little whinge.
Well, just going back to what we talked about with post-match interviews and how Richard Cockerell showed a little bit of a lack of class, but nothing we weren't expecting from Cockers in just moaning about his injuries rather than, you know, being respectful to his opposition and waiting for another day to dissect it in that way. Pat Lamb said, yeah, it was a difficult decision to take, but those happen when you're in professional rugby and you've got to swallow it and move on. I'm gutted for the boys because they work really hard. But he didn't inflame it, which I think if and we talk about Steve Diamond and Richard Cockerell, if they'd have been on the receiving end of that decision, fortunately for the game, that's not all everyone's talking about because it was an amazing game. But had someone else been the director of rugby of Connacht, that is all anyone would be talking about.
Yes.
So I say, well, nice one, Pat Lamb, for that.
Absolutely.
But let's just go over that decision once again.
So
if you haven't seen it, Jay,
I haven't. So
here's it. Right. So let me stop it.
Oh.
There. Right. So, we have got a ruck forming and Gloucester are defending. Connacht player, you can see him just gone down. There's the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You can see a Gloucester player just very quick coming over the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Go with the scrum cap there. John Afoa is in the way of the Connacht players getting to the Gloucester guy who's trying to get his hands on the ball.
Okay.
And one person you can't see from that shot is Tom Palmer, who is basically lying on top of the ball.
So let's move it on a little
bit. There's Tom Palmer.
There's Tom Palmer. So John Afoa gets smashed out the way. That's fine.
Okay.
Right? And there's a Gloucester player still trying to fight for the ball. Connacht can't clear him out because Tom Palmer is just lying in the way of the ball, on the wrong side, not moving.
Yeah.
It's not like he's trying to move, and this is what's upset.
Who took the ball in?
Connacht.
Connacht.
And just watch Tom Palmer. Watch Tom Palmer. Still in the way, still in the way. Still in the way, still in the way. Roman Poit.
Just lying there.
Penalty against Connor. Yeah. And he's right. He's right in the sense that Gloucester get their hands on the ball, but Connor can't clear the guy out because Tom Palmer's just lying on the wrong side.
Yeah, they do get on the guy, to be fair.
No, but look at this guy coming in. Yeah, I know. Look at this guy coming in. You would just smash.
Let me just play devil's advocate. I don't think there's a penalty either way here, actually. But if I was to play devil's advocate, I'd say that guy who's standing on Tom Palmer now is more interested in standing on Tom Palmer than he is getting the Gloucester player off the ball. Because that Gloucester player is firmly on that ball and he's supporting his own weight.
But look at number 22. He has to go right around Tom Palmer instead of driving straight through the Gloucester player. Look, just watch 22. He could drive. He could actually try and just drive the Gloucester player off the ball, but he has to walk around Tom Palmer and can't get to him.
You know me. I'm all for letting the boys play. I don't think that's...
No, but I know this. What the referees get told to do is, number one, the first thing to look at is the defender.
Yeah.
That's the first thing you look at when you assess a ruck. The first thing you look at, has the defender made a positive move?
Then you
look at, has the attacker made a positive move, i.e. laid the ball back, not holding on? The first offence is Tom Palmer.
So are you saying the more egregious offence is Tom Palmer? Because they seem to happen at the same time, right?
Yeah, because that...
So the Tom Palmer offence...
Affects the rest of the ruck.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I can see that.
I'd be really upset if I was a Connacht fan.
Yeah,
I would. I think if they don't give a penalty either way, I'd be happy with that.
But it did mean that we got one of the tries of the season.
Yeah.
Can I see that?
With the last play. Have you not seen it yet?
No, I've not seen it.
Oh, the Johnny May try.
I'm not a Johnny May fan.
Yeah, it was something else.
It was...
Is this like you weren't a Banahan fan?
No, I think with Johnny May, it's kind of like Shane Williams. And I know I shouldn't say anything bad about Shane Williams because...
You're Welsh.
I'm Welsh and, you know...
He's a hero.
I probably will never be able to go back to Wales again. But I sometimes felt with Shane Williams, he was allowed too many errors because he scored a lot of tries and sometimes it didn't come off. In fact, more often than not, he'd get caught, especially at like really, really high level. And waste an opportunity because he'd back himself rather than... That did create some great tries.
What he has in his locker, though, is the try he scored against New Zealand 4 minutes in.
Yep.
Yes.
And he's got the try he scored for Gloucester.
Yeah, I know, but they still lost that game, did they not?
Against New Zealand, they did.
Yeah. So, I mean, if he scored three of those tries, I'm all for it. But you can't do one every 6 months.
He doesn't do one every 6 months. He does. He scores.
He does.
Scores some great tries.
He scores some sensational tries.
And he also creates some good tries for other people. If you saw the Challenge Cup final, which I know you did because we were watching it together, he set up a brilliant try for 12 threes. He almost went 80 metres in that and got tackled at the last second.
He's very good at certain things. He's very fast. But I just think there's wingers out there, you know, I'm just trying to think. Christian Wade is a far better version of Johnny May.
I disagree. What? His defensive frailties are greater than Johnny May if you watch him. Johnny May's positioning and kick returning is excellent.
Better
than Christian Wade if you watch the two of them.
No, the Christian Wade hating bandwagon now has got to such a...
Oh, I don't hate him.
The evidence points... Points away, Phil.
Well, no, he's not as good as Johnny May.
We'll get onto the England squad in just a minute because I thought you might have something to say about that one. But let's just celebrate what was an absolutely awesome game. Connacht will be devastated. Gloucester fans have argued, well, there was plenty of decisions during the game that Roman Poit got wrong in the other way. You just don't want games to be decided by bad decisions. You want fairness and equal both sides, but you don't want to talk about the referee, and we don't like talking about the referees too much. But let me show you this wonder try, Jay.
Laidlaw's just nailed a penalty to put them 1 point into the lead, and this is the kick return.
Oh,
so they,
wow.
They collect the kickoff.
Darren Davidge, the all-important scorer, Johnny May, is sensing adventure. He's sensing another try. That's brilliant. 12 trees onwards to Meeks. Inside ball for 12 trees. Kept alive. Johnny May to finish.
Wow.
What a way to finish.
That is good. Yeah.
That is spectacular.
Very gracious of you to admit that was quite good.
It is good. It is good, right? But there's players that do electric things like that who are better all-round players. That's what I'm saying. Like
right.
most of the, like some of the Wasps back line.
Right, okay. All right,
but yeah,
all right.
Very, very good. Well done, Johnny May.
right, so Gloucester advanced that final and they'll play Bordeaux, as we mentioned, that's six ways. So let's talk the England squad then, because 50-man team, the biggest England squad that's ever been assembled by an England head coach. This is just a wider training squad. And Stuart Lancaster, well, it was no surprises really, was it, the squad?
There was
a couple of people missing. But there was no one who got in there who was a real shock. I mean, you could argue that Itoje is a bit surprising.
You could argue that Luke-Mullet-Dickie was surprising.
Yeah, those two. But besides that, it's fairly standard.
Rather than going in depth about the actual squad, because everyone's seen it and people, we've had time to digest our...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Own thoughts. What about if Stuart Lancaster called us up, the rugby podcast, said, "Boys, you guys
call. That's what I do.
You guys know." He went, you guys know rugby, and your listeners are the most intelligent, informed rugby group that there is about. Can you please? You've got three wild card decisions, just in case there's something I've missed or something I've got wrong. Can you just try and clean up the mess I may have made? So three changes were allowed. Stuart Lancaster squad. Who would you have in and who would you have out?
Jay, okay. I know you're very... Okay, you go for one first.
Before I do, I know you don't want me to do this, Tim, but I'm going to anyway. I need to get my cricket bat out and go into bat for James Haskell. I read a article earlier on this week, which is basically what we're doing now.
So you're not answering the question?
Oh, no, right, okay. not immediately. Right?
Okay.
This is like question time when you're just going...
This journalist in the Times... came out and just rinsed Haskell. He isn't good enough. He doesn't do enough things. He's not intelligent enough. And it's just the bitterness towards Haskell, which I can't stand. And anyone who thinks that Haskell isn't good enough to play for England, well, doesn't understand the game well enough. He's been to France.
The question. No,
I'm so angry with this journalist.
If we were just going to spend the podcast complaining about things journalists get wrong, then Stephen Jones is all we talk about on the podcast.
Yeah, that's true. Stephen Jones has banned me, but... He's blocked us on Twitter.
Yeah. Ridiculously. I think that's a rite of passage for any true rugby fan, is to be blocked by Stephen Jones.
Having said that, I'm going to get rid of Burgess. I think it's absolutely ludicrous he's there.
He's starting for Bath.
He is starting.
I'm actually going to come to his defence.
And by the way, who was the best back rower on the field towards the end of the game? Comfortably Carl Ferns.
Carl Ferns did have a very good 30 minutes.
Wow.
The best back rower was Francois Lowe.
Okay. But he made a good impact.
So you get rid of Burgess. Okay, fine.
Who would you bring in for him?
Steph.
Not Big Dave.
Steph, Big Dave both get in. In fact,
one change.
You said three changes, no?
Three changes. Okay, what would your three ins and three outs be?
Okay, so my two definite ins are Stefan and their Big Dave. And my definite out is Stuart Lancaster. he would rather lose nobly than win disgracefully. And that isn't the kind of guy that I want.
Who would Stefan and Big Dave come in for apart from Burgess? Burgess and...
Well, Burgess has to... Rob Shaw.
You're going to get rid of the captain?
Callum Clark.
Clark's a very good player.
Yeah, but he's not...
I could,
he's not Armitage, is he?
I could accept getting rid of Kvesic.
Kvesic's another one. Yeah. I mean, all these players. I mean, Waldrum, you could have a whole new back row from.
I'd get Kvesic out, and I'd get Stefan Armitage in. If I had carte blanche to just choose and change the rules,
I'd get Kvesic out, and I'd probably bring Big Dave in.
Stuart Lancaster wants
Big Dave, yeah, Big Dave viewers.
Stuart Lancaster wants to tick all the boxes. Like, we're building for the future. No, you're not, Stuart. You better win this World Cup right now, because there will be no future for you if you don't win this World Cup. If you don't get out the group stages, you're done.
I think it's selfless for Stuart Lancaster.
It's pathetic.
Build the profile of the country.
But do you know what?
I was expecting you to say Christian Wade should be in.
Christian Wade, look, there's too many changes for me to make. there genuinely is.
Phil, what would you do then?
I'd probably drop either Dixon or Wigglesworth for Joe Simpson. Now I know he's
another one.
Amen.
I know he's carrying an injury at the moment, and he will be considered.
Let's assume he was fit right now. I'm totally with you.
Yes, but if he's going to be considered when he's fit, that means you've got five scrum halves in the squad. So there's no point in that. So I drop one of those two.
Yeah,
probably Dixon.
Yeah, same. No, I'd probably drop Wigglesworth, but that's fine.
Either or. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Luke Cowan-Dickie. Yeah, I could go with that.
As in dropping?
Drop him and slot Jamie George in there.
Yeah.
Who I think has been...
He's had a great season.
Yeah, very
but
good.
Stuart Lancaster doesn't care about form. He's not interested in who's playing well. He's got a clique and that's it.
But do you think some of them he's going, I know which hookers I'm taking, and Luke Cowan-Dickie's not making my squad. I want to get him in the international environment.
But shouldn't it just be like a reward for the best players?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Get rid of Stefan for a second.
For what it's worth, I agree with you.
Yeah, exactly. So all the lads in Exeter that aren't quite there.
I don't think Kvesic has earned a place in the England squad.
No.
He's an out-and-out seven. We don't have many of them, but I don't think he's good enough. I'd rather move players like Tom Wood to seven.
Mm. Yeah.
I'd rather... Even Callum Clark plays seven for Northampton. I'd rather them. I don't think Kvesic earns it, so he's out of my squad, and Big Dave Ewers is in.
And do you know, the only thing I would say about Kvesic, and I agree with you, I've not seen him play well for a while, but Gloucester fans love him. They think he's been their best player down the stretch. There might be something in it, but I just feel like Stuart Lancaster's got a clique and that's it. You can't get in. But you can't even score the most tries and get in.
You say that about the clique, but Nick Easter broke into that clique.
Yep.
Which was against everyone's expectations.
But why Nick Easter and not Thomas Waldron?
People were moaning for ages, Danny Cipriani, and he got a look in.
I mean, I think if back to Clive Woodward days where he just purely picked on form, you might even see someone like Banahan. I mean, one game and all the rest of it. But he's had a good end of season.
He has, when he's got the space made for him and he can run the trials in.
There's going to be a lot of tears this World Cup.
Just one question going back to the Bath game. If Miles Benjamin had been playing, how do you think that would have gone? The unstoppable force versus the immovable object.
I don't know.
Jay's only other man crush in rugby,
and
Miles Benjamin.
I mean, if Anthony Allen was there to pull the strings.
Oh, yeah.
Miles Benjamin's finish it.
I mean, if Miles Benjamin had been playing for Connacht, then that clear out, even Tom Palmer lying on the floor, Miles Benjamin would have cleaned that out. No worries.
Yeah, we should have gone for the award for excellent rucking, Miles Benjamin. Hey, he's just a bit off his timing, and next year will be Miles Benjamin's year.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well. So then.
Oh, sorry. Whilst we're on this, Molin Yard, England player? Don't think so.
No, I think he is. I think he's had a tough season.
Not on form though.
No. When he gets the opportunities, he is a superb finisher.
When he gets the opportunity, and he can
like
change
Miles.
Angle like a housefly.
Yeah.
Now, the other England squad that's been announced for this game against the Barbarians.
Yes.
So 50 players were announced in the wider squad.
Yeah.
And then they've announced a 24-man squad for this game this weekend. Only 10 of them are from the 50.
What?
So there's another 14 players who aren't even in the 50, so that's 64 players he's up to.
Does it make any sense, that, at all?
I'm a little bit confused by that, I must admit.
No, that's you being diplomatic. Doesn't make any sense.
I'm a little bit confused.
Yeah.
I don't have the bigger picture, Jay.
He's very much treating this like a development 15. It's not.
Yes.
It's not a
development 50. How many more? How many more developments do you need?
Yeah,
but it is nice to see some players in there. So
Alex Lewington, I'm really pleased he's in because he's had a superb season, and he was one of my like really really dark horses for the 50 man squad.
What a terrible phone call to get though if you're Alex Lewington. Alex, you're in the England squad. Brilliant. But for the Barbarians, not so much.
But other lads, Josh Bowman, Jack Clifford, who we've mentioned quite a few times, Mark Wilson, who we've mentioned
exactly.
on a few occasions, Alex Waller as well. There's some very good, talented young players there. So I like that squad, but it's just like the whole thing is a little bit confusing.
It is a bit. It is. I agree. I completely lost my train of thought then. Completely. Oh, yeah, no, what I was going to say is, even if you're Alex Lewington, it's great to be involved, for example, and other guys like that, great to be involved. And also, it's, you know, it's not a proper England cap, but you're still going there, you're still getting all your stash. I mean, we know how good it feels to open some Canterbury stash.
Oh, hang on, what's this? What's this over here?
They're gonna go and say, "What size? Here you go, Alex. Here's all your stash." This, just like JB's got all your, you've got all your Canterbury stash.
This is the
stash
sound
there.
Of brand new Canterbury stash. Ooh, what we got here?
It's very nice. Good colour scheme.
Yeah, well, I've got a red workout top. I'm gonna get massive with all these workout tops.
Yeah, that's how it works. That's how it works, Jay.
What's this?
The other phrase that maybe is applicable is "all the gear, no idea."
Perhaps. Perhaps.
Just some good news for my rehabilitation phase.
Yes.
Post-operative. I'm now bench pressing more than my 50-kilogram girlfriend.
Wow.
Not more than she weighs. I'm not benching 50 kilograms.
Oh, good.
But I'm benching more than she can bench, which is 40 kilograms.
Superb.
Have you heard Phil's coming back to rugby? Have you announced this?
Is that true?
Going back to Broughton Park?
No.
Signed for Broughton Park as a rugby consultant.
This is unconfirmed. Unsubstantiated. Slanderous defamation.
Part of the Coach Beardmore coaching team.
Do you want to hear some Honey Badge bloopers?
Yes.
He's been doing a beef advert, and this is some bloopers from that.
8-2-8.
Nick Cummins, rugby union winger.
Right, last one was a bit as straight as a Boeing knife, but that was bloody right down the gut.
Baked beans.
Gee, that'll get your bum playing up. Actually, there are a few jokes about pitching tents.
Right, Felix, this is how you don't do it.
Okay. Has he been listening to our podcast about pitching tents?
I think he might have done.
He must have been.
Yeah.
He's talking to a kid.
Crikey.
Oh, and he gets it straight away.
So they're trying to pass through a target, and Nick Cummins took about 50 goes to do it, and the kid just did it first time.
That middle peg, I was bloody struggling kids. Like a one-armed banjo player for about, I don't know, three quarters of it. That's what I'm talking about.
That wasn't a good high five.
And then we whack this big fella right on the... Sorry.
I don't know what he said. I want to know what he said. It's like a griddle pan. I don't know what he could have called it. This. Oh, Jay's getting undressed.
Yeah.
Not a pretty sight.
Pipe down.
Do you want to hear something else awesome?
Yes.
So Paul O'Connell leading
otherwise.
Munster in the stand up and fight after the Ospreys win.
Oh, is this a new one?
This is Paul O'Connell leading his Munster men. So they're in the changing room after their win. Come on, Paulie.
Turned off.
Stand up and fight until you hear the bell. Stand toe to toe, trade blow for blow. Keep punching till you make your punch yourself and show that crowd what you know. Until you hear that bell, that final bell.
This way it gets good.
Stand up and fight like hell. Stand up and fight until you hear the bell. Stand toe for toe, trade blow for blow. Keep punching till you bring your punch yourself and show that crowd what you know. Until you hear that bell, that final bell. Stand up and fight like hell.
Best rugby song? Best rugby song?
I think so. It's definitely better than the one Saracens do. I hate that song.
Which one?
Here we go.
No, that's a great song.
The Ricky Tiki Tonga.
Yeah, I hate that song so much.
God, Jay, now you've put on that Canterbury top. You do look like you've been working out.
I have been working out.
God, you're looking good.
You've got instantly bigger wearing that top.
Definitely. Shoulders, chest, arms.
Do I look more handsome in Canterbury?
I mean, your waist looks smaller, but everything else looks bigger.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird, isn't it?
It's an incredible fit.
I think it's this Canterbury fabric and the technology involved.
Yes, I think so.
We'll have to get something to give away as a bit of a prize, won't we?
Yeah, that's a good idea. But have you ever tried to give away something Canterbury? It pulls on your heart. I can't do it.
We'll work on that. We'll work on that.
It's all so special.
The Pro 12, then. I think, Phil, you should be our... you should give us a little rundown of the Pro 12, mainly because I didn't see any of it. Did you, Jay?
I did, actually. I watched the Ulster Glasgow game.
Oh, don't get me started.
Well, congratulations.
Go on, I'll tell you what, JB, let Phil have a chat. Have a bicky while he's
here. Oh, yeah,
okay. 5 minutes to go. A heroic performance by Ulster. Going to Glasgow, where they just lost by 20 points the previous week. And were winning from the first minute until the 75th minute when Finn Russell created a try for DTH van der Merwe, the South African Canadian who's playing in Scotland. He went over in the corner, and then fair play to Finn Russell because he had a conversion from the touchline and absolutely nailed it from the wrong side for right-footed kicker. To break my poor little heart on my birthday as well.
Yeah,
it was my. It's my
Phil
birthday.
Phil turned 30 on the day that his Ulsterman got knocked out in his first season being an Ulster fan. How would you reflect on your season as an Ulster fan, Phil?
Up and down. There's times when I thought everything was going right, and then there's times when everything was going wrong, from injuries to yellow cards to just missed lineouts and frustration.
Glasgow, enjoy it while you can. It won't last.
But I really enjoyed my first season being an Ulster fan.
They're all good for the future as well, don't they?
Who? Ulster.
Ulster. I mean, they've got some lethal weapons out wide.
Yeah, got some
the whole back line is good, to be fair.
Yeah, they've got a great back line. And losing tight head prop and second row, the two South Africans.
Don't do it, Cockers.
It did have an effect, but Glasgow was still very good.
Yeah. And
probably just worth the win, and it'll be an interesting final. The one thing I would say was the Nico Matualu, his dive, making a meal of the
that was disgraceful.
What was a little bit of a
I did see that
a little bit of a hug from Ulster.
Well, it wasn't quite an Uge, but it was getting on for it.
It was, yeah.
Was it more of a Habana?
It was just he made a meal of it. He wasn't hurt, he wasn't injured, he wasn't even blocked. He just threw himself on the floor.
Well, I suppose the thing about Glasgow is they've got, as I said before, the Pep Guardiola of rugby, who's either going to be the next Scotland coach or the next Leicester coach, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They did well. It's the sort of thing that Brad Thorne wouldn't stand for if he was on that park. He's retiring. Yeah. And best, we talk about a lot about Sam Burgess, but there is the best dual code international of all time.
Who had the worst retirement?
Sorry?
Worst retirement, Stephen Gerrard or Brad Thorne? Worst weekend?
The difference is Stephen Gerrard won the Champions League but never won the Premiership and won absolute bugger all with England. Brad Thorne's won the World Cup.
Heineken Cup.
Super Rugby.
Super Rugby. Tri-Nations.
In that case, Brad Thorne had a better weekend than Stephen Gerrard.
Yeah, I reckon so. Because Brad Thorne's sort of walking out, head held high.
But Stephen Gerrard is going for £300,000 a week.
That's a lot of money, I've heard.
That's quite a bit of money, yeah. Apparently, that's quite a lot.
You could employ 52 Stefan Armitages a year for that.
George,
yeah, actually, good.
And the Premiership's going to be worse off for having a guy like that who is a legend of the game, Brad Thorne. But one out, one in. George Smith to Wasps. What about that?
That's an interesting move because all the talk was that he's taking one of their marquee signing places.
Apparently not.
Oh, really?
No, they've not used their marquee signing place,
for him.
No. Which is even better.
I hope they do use their marquee signing.
Well, I don't like it, and this is why, because I love the build of Wasps pack, which is carry.
But it means you can have Ashley Johnson moving to hooker to do more carrying from hooker.
But you could have that anyway, and then I've got an idea. Why don't you put Carl Ferns into the Wasps back row you and keep Ashley Johnson at hooker.
I think we've cracked what's going to happen, haven't we? I reckon basically whoever wins the Championship playoff final is going to announce Carl Ferns as a signing.
I think you could be right there.
Well done,
you
Tim.
Could be right there, Tim. Mm-hmm.
Which we've not actually spoken about.
Well, we should talk about that because that was in terms of intensity and passion and that was a captivating game, wasn't it?
It really was. And a nation holds its breath.
I'm going to get the sad music out again. Big Gav, he's out of the final, second leg.
But is he out of the World Cup? I mean, that's what everyone in Wales wants to know.
Well, I didn't know until yesterday. Big Gav has never graced a World Cup.
What?
No, he hasn't. Unless he went with Gareth Jenkins.
He has never graced a World Cup. There was a whole article in the rugby paper on it.
I know.
He first played for Wales. Do you know what year?
Oh. Yes, it's going to be 1998.
How old is he?
No, I'll go for 2002.
It's 2001.
Wow.
But he didn't make the 2003, the 2007, the 2011. Oh. So this will be four consecutive Miss World Cups if he doesn't make it.
He should.
And is there any coincidence? I mean, you know, I know there are lies, damn lies and statistics, as someone famously once said, but just look at the statistics and I think they bear out. Gavin Henson's never been to a World Cup. Wales have never won a World Cup.
Yeah.
You know, is that I don't want to draw the comparison, the line between the two. It looks pretty obvious to me, clear cut.
I would ask, is that correlation or causation?
It seems like a cause and effect to me.
Causation.
Cause and effect. 100%.
It's definite.
I think it's Newton's fifth law.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, Bristol are shorn of three Lions because Ian Evans is out.
Yeah.
Ryan Jones is out. Gavin Henson is out. That's a lot of money to
be losing. Lot of Lions to be losing.
Yeah.
But quite apart from that, they've got to go to Worcester and win and throw the kitchen sink at Worcester, who go into Bristol. And I just want to say, start of the season, I called Worcester going up.
Oh, no.
I said they had so many young players. And do you know one of the young players that impressed me most? He was was a guy that impressed me when Worcester were already relegated last year. And the prop, Rapava.
I know the guy you mean.
Really flipping good scrummager. He is such a good scrummager.
It's a weird shape. Yeah,
his legs are humongous.
Yeah,
He has got real wide hips, smallish upper body, but real wide hips. Real
not
big,
always a good
big
sign.
Thighs.
You love Ashley Johnson. There's a man with some hips on him.
Yeah, it was a hell of a game though. I love that first half was so exciting. Just the
Matthew Morgan when he gets the ball. I mean, Matthew Morgan versus Ryan Lamb. You pay money for that every day of the week.
That Bristol number eight as well, Mitch Edie. He's
an athlete, isn't he?
Yeah, he looked good.
Do you think he's like the second incarnation of Dan Ward-Smith? Bristol number eight, kind of underneath the radar.
Oh, man, I think he's one of the best players that didn't get an England cap. He just got an injury at a horrible
Dan
time.
Ward-Smith.
Yeah, did he get one England cap or did he never get one?
He was due to be called up and play, but he got injured.
Was he injured for Wasps? Was he injured for Bristol?
Injured for Bristol. It was when he was playing for Bristol.
Because
he came up through all the lower leagues with Plymouth Albion and from like five leagues down, took them almost like just missed out on getting to the Premiership, went to Bristol who beat them to the Premiership and was just awesome.
I think I'm right in saying he was meant to make his debut the same game as Sean Perry made his debut.
Yeah.
Because Sean Perry made his debut and was vice captain on the day he made his debut.
Danwell Smith had possibly, we were talking about quads earlier, when he played, he would win the Best Legs Award. his quads were incredible.
Mm.
Absolutely incredible.
Well, there was one last thing I was going to say about the game. Oh, yeah, that was that when they played, tell me if I'm wrong here, did it look to you as if it's two teams that haven't needed to make a tackle for 6 minutes?
first half,
yeah. Yes. And then at half-time, they probably both got a bit of a...
Guys, you're professional rugby players.
Guys,
go tackle.
Do you remember defence? Do you remember that? Oh, God, yeah.
We did drawing on whiteboards and stuff. Oh, tackle God, here. Yeah.
We did a couple of sessions pre-season, I think.
dusting off their playbooks. What? Blitz! Blitz, coach, what's this? So I think Bristol will be back, and they're going to be back with aplomb.
Do you think both teams will be back all of a sudden with a ring-fenced 14-team premiership?
I hope so.
Not this year.
Next year, though.
Maybe. I think there will be a bit more of a push for it, but not this year.
Well, whoever loses this final is going to go up next year, surely.
You'd expect so.
Yeah.
Because London Welsh aren't going to bounce back up, are they?
Well, they might do, because they've got £6 million or something.
The payout. They've made a few signings. They've signed Dan Leo, and they've managed to get rid of all
That's a good signing, isn't it?
He's all right.
Isn't he the Irish at the moment?
Yeah. But he's not really playing.
What's word from inside the camp?
He wasn't getting in the squad, and his discipline is. And this isn't word from the squad, by the way. This is my own observations as someone who watches London Irish quite a lot. His discipline is pretty shocking, and he didn't do the business. I imagine he probably got brought in on quite good money at Irish and hasn't done the business.
Yeah, from Perpignan. So they managed to. They've brought in a few players. They've also managed to get rid of a lot of their weakest players to Leicester Tigers, who are taking anybody and everybody.
Leicester Tigers.
I think Fanua, you watch out. Fanua next year is a 20-minute impact man.
If he gets...
That's a very specialised role, isn't it?
If he loses 3 stone, I can see it. If he doesn't lose 3 stone, then he'll be doing exactly the same as what he's done this year.
Leicester's recruitment policy now is get rid of all the established guys, bring in some people from Italy, because they are famously good in the Pro 12. And then...
Let's talk about Leicester and signings and looking ahead next week. We've got the Premiership final. We've got the Pro 12 final. We've got the Championship final. We've got the playoff for the Europe final.
Just one thing on the other Pro 12 game that we've not yet mentioned, the Munster Ospreys game. I don't know if either of you saw it.
Nope.
But Munster, with a better team for the majority of it, they conspired to throw it away, but with CJ Stander passing to Reece Webb.
Did he?
Reece Webb had the easiest try he will ever score. Because he received the ball with a clear run in from CJ Stander, and then they allowed Jeff Hassler to coast in from 40 yards. And then Josh Matavesi scored the winning try after 80 minutes, but it got called back for a knock on, which was correct. It was a good game, great finish. But Munster, you felt, were always the better team, but were imploding a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as Toulon signed the career killer, which is known as Dan Bigger, Ospreys are going
to
be
on.
Right, let's match up the two teams in the Premiership final and pick, you know, head to head and pick our 15 between the two teams. So, loose head prop, Paul James or Mako Vunipola?
James.
I'd go Mako.
I'd go Mako.
Well, you're mad.
he offers more on the park.
Paul James is a better soldier.
Hooker. Now, Ross Batty started ahead of Rob Webber, so does that mean we should... Ross Batty, who didn't get included in the England squad, I might put in...
Yeah. The 1A and 1B. That's why. It doesn't really matter which one you start first.
So, Batty, Webber, or George. Or Jamie George.
Or Scout Brits, who was ill this week.
Well, let's just say it's not Scout Brits, because I don't think it will be. Because it hasn't been all season. I'd say Batty, to be fair.
I'll go Webber.
Well, I'd probably go Jamie George on this season.
So, it's a tie. Tight head prop then. So you've got Petrus, Duplessis or David Wilson?
Wilson.
David Wilson.
Moose in prop. So it's kind of one and a half all so far in the front row. Second row then, you've got Hoops.
Isn't it not one and two thirds to Bath? Because two of us have a bath hooker.
Well,
they're different hookers.
It's a tie in the front row.
One and a half.
It's a tie in the front row.
Like you say, 1A and 1B, they can't both be playing at the same time.
No, it's true.
Cruz and Hargreaves.
Atwood and Hoops.
Or Atwood and Hoops.
Don't even question
Atwood
this.
And Cruz for me.
Atwood and Cruz, so one all there.
Atwood Hoops, he's a leader. He's one of the few guys in the Bath squad not to have a cap, and yet he leads them out. He's a warrior.
Burgess can do all the leadership.
Oh, nonsense. The thing about Burgess going to the England squad because of leadership, why don't they just sign Steve Jobs or something?
Itoji or Burgess?
Neither. I'd have Francois Lowe and...
Carl Ferns.
Berger.
Oh,
Jack Berger.
Good shout.
That's a good shout. Lowe at six. Berger at six.
Either. Or.
Left and right.
They're six and both six and a half.
And then number eight, Leroy Houston or Billy.
Billy.
Billy. Mm. Makes it with us. One.
Yeah, Billy.
One Sarries, two Sarries, three Sarries, four. It's four all. Basically, it's pretty much four. It's pretty much even.
Packs tied.
Oh, wow. I wonder how the backs are going to go.
Here we go.
Wiggy. Or Stringer.
Stringer has been exceptional.
I'd probably go Wiggy on those two.
Can I just say?
I would also go Wiggy.
Why?
His kicking and game management has been excellent.
Here we go, boys. This is the matchup everyone's going to be talking about.
Do you not think Stringer releases them all?
Fast forward to Friday.
His passing's good, that's
fast forward to Friday and Saturday morning, the newspapers are going to have big profiles. Farrell and Ford are going to have two head-to-head pictures.
Hodgson.
who didn't even come off the bench?
Sir Charlie.
He was an unused reserve.
Yeah. But we'll all go forward.
Oh, okay.
Won't we?
if you say so, Tim.
will we?
Yes.
I would.
Two very different guys. Stuart Lancaster must be loving the fact they're head to head.
Yeah.
You can get to have a good look at them in a pressure cooker.
He couldn't have written it better. Yeah.
Centres.
Is it even a question?
Eastman and Joseph or Barrett and Taylor? Duncan Taylor had a good game.
He's a good player, but he's not Jonathan Joseph.
He showed terrific pace overtake Dixon for that.
I know, just that willingness to put his body on the line, just dive on the ball.
But again, Bath.
Yeah. Eastman Joseph.
Exactly.
Right, wings then.
Rocco Degooney.
Rocco and Banners or Strettle, Wiles, Ashton kind of axis.
I'm like Rocco and Ashton.
I quite like on form Rocco and Wiles.
On form, you got a good Banners.
No, just because he's got three tries.
Is that not form though, Phil?
That is form.
And hasn't he had lots of form? He's got to be fair, all back end of the season, he's been doing well.
He has been doing well. I would still put other wingers there ahead of him.
I go Wiles. I think he deserves it.
No, he's a backup. You two don't get it, do you? If you start,
he started ahead of Ashton.
If you start your backup, he can't be the best backup in the league. You've ruined it for him.
I would genuinely have Wiles starting at the moment.
Okay, Rocco's in.
We
could
just call it a draw because it's hard to pick. The fact we find it hard to pick means that
I'm genuinely not.
So you'd have Ashton.
Ashton Rocco. Definitely.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Fine, whatever. Yeah, done. And then fullback.
Anthony Watson for me.
Anthony Watson.
But you know what? Yeah. That's probably one of the harder ones to do because Goode is very good.
Yeah, Goode is playing very well. There were some negative comments about Goode when the England squad was announced on Twitter. And we have occasionally been critical because he's not quite Mike Brown, but he is still very good. He's a very good all-round player and playmaker and kicker and solid under the high ball and everything you want from a fullback.
Yeah. Here's where I think the difference is between the two teams, because we know it's a 23-man effort. Bath's bench at the weekend: Rob Webber, Nick Auterack, Henry Thomas, Dominic Day, Matt Garvey, Carl Ferns, Chris Cook, Ollie Devoto. Sarri's: Jared Saunders, Richard Barrington, Juan Figuelo, Jim Hamilton, Jackson Ray, Neil de Kock, Charlie Hodgson, Chris Ashton. Both strong benches, but possibly the front.
Yeah,
exactly.
Up front,
right,
in the pack.
On that though, James Johnson and Scout Brits were both missing through illness.
Oh, okay, that does change it up.
It does change it slightly, but I do still
think the back row impact.
Yeah,
Garvey maybe in the second row as well. Garvey and Ferns.
I mean, Garvey was last year's starting number six, and he was very good at it too.
Yeah, and he
injured
England Saxons earlier in the year.
And
he made the England squad, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, good.
Excellent, the Irish captain, all the rest of it. He's a very good player. He's just come back from injury. And the Ferns, oh, God, they're good. Problem is, it just doesn't all fit together, does it, for Bath? Someone's got to go. It looks like it's going to be Ferns.
So how do the teams stack up, then?
The teams stack up that
it's the Bath back.
It's basically the Bath backs.
Yeah.
You've got Eastman, Joseph, Ford. Eastman, Joseph, Watson, And then a winger.
Rocco Degouni.
Yeah, so it's no surprises that
it's 5-2 split in the backs.
So what you've got is the slickly oiled defensive and territorial machine of Saracens versus the pace and invention and deadly weapons of Bath.
So what do you think then, Tim? Your £10, £2, however much?
10 pence?
10p.
Is that
£2 minimum bet on Betfair.
I'm going back. They just have to win.
Here's the thing: which team has been exposed to situations like this more? It's Saracens.
And Saracens.
I just wonder how much that'll have an impact on a big day.
Bath
are a team of internationals, though. So,
what about the mental block that they just haven't won anything recently?
They've not won since, was it 2011 when they beat Leicester in the final? Saracens, and they did win the LV Cup, but I guess that doesn't really count.
Is it even a competition?
Well, not anymore.
Oh, shame. So, I'm just going to say Bath. I mean, they're playing so free, so loose. It's going to be very hard to stop them.
And if anyone can stop them, it's Saracens.
Yeah, agreed.
The Borg.
But give me Bath as well. Hopefully good conditions and Bath. Yeah. They're rapier-like clinical finishing.
I tell you who can stop Bath. The Met Office.
Do you know what? Do you know what? I think if Bath win, it will be a celebration of attacking rugby. If Saracens win, it will be kind of like a Hollywood kind of underdog tale. I mean, they're not quite the Mighty Ducks or anything like that. You know, a ragtag bunch of no ones, but
superstars.
They will have done it the hard way. They've gone away to Northampton and come up with a win.
Yeah,
and they'll have beaten Bath, who look irresistible at the moment.
They do.
Yeah, give me Bath.
I think you have to say Bath.
I cannot wait. I'm genuinely excited. I mean, some Premiership finals in the past haven't been that exciting, like Leicester, Saracens, but this one is electric.
Bath do win, will Burgess be the first person to win two consecutive titles in two different codes?
Good question. Oh, imagine if he gets Man of the Match.
Two Man of the Matches in two finals in like 9 months between each other.
No one on planet Earth will stop him from starting in the World Cup if that happens. Fact.
do you think Worcester are going to win and be promoted on the strength of what I saw? I think Worcester.
But Bristol had those two yellow cards, didn't they?
We did.
And if that had a big impact, I think. But they've also lost Big Gav.
And he really is important for them in the midfield.
And home advantage could be important. Yeah. So I'm going to go Worcester on that one.
Worcester.
Gloucester or Bordeaux?
Bordeaux, I think.
I think Bordeaux, but the French teams are notoriously bad at travelling away.
But Gloucester really all pushing their luck, aren't they, at the end of the season?
They've been playing well at the end of the season. But
they're like one of the worst, I mean, statistically one of the worst teams in the Premiership. What are they, 10th or something?
They've already got silverware.
Ninth.
Yeah, finished ninth, but they've already got silverware this season, so I think they're going to do it again.
Bordeaux, Gloucester. A very powerful team.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
It will be effectively a home tie for Gloucester, won't it?
Yeah. And okay. Glasgow, Munster.
Oh, God, that's happening as well, isn't it? Two cares.
Munster.
Munster, maybe.
I think Munster will have the advantage of...
It's going to be one of the two, isn't it?
Travelling fans, because no people from Glasgow are going to be allowed into George Best Airport.
God, no.
After Nico Matawala. Terrible dive.
And also, do they have any fans? Are they not all going to be busy drinking, McEwen's lager and swearing at TVs and having,
Oh, my God.
Religiously charged...
You carry on. Keep digging yourself a hole. Enjoy the rugby. At Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. Nice one, JB.
Cheers, Tim.
In a bit, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.